is the Tactical Nutrition and Performance Podcast. I'm Susan Lopez, Tactical Dietitian, and I am here to help you elevate your performance through better nutrition programming, bridging the gap between knowledge and application to help support the athlete with no off-season. We are going to talk about everything from macros to stress to sleep and more. I will be bringing over a decade of nutrition know-how and experience and introducing you to experts in the tactical performance realm. If you are ready to take your health and performance to the next level and you need information that is relevant and right for you, then you are in the right place. Let's get the show started. All right, Shelton, welcome to the podcast. So I'm excited to have you here today because we're going to be talking about some great things, some controversial, some personal stuff maybe, and really talk about some things that you're doing kind of in your space and picking your brain kind of as a subject matter expert today. So if you would, I would like for you to just briefly introduce yourself to those individuals who are listening who maybe are not familiar with you yet, and tell us who Shelton is.
Definitely. So like Susan said, I'm Shelton Stevens. I am a strength and conditioning specialist. I work at USASOC right now. Been at USASOC, let's see, this is going on 5 years now, or maybe it's 4 years. Time flies, right? So before going into the tactical space, I worked in the collegiate setting for about 13 years. My most recent job was at Liberty University in Lynchburg, Virginia, beautiful campus, great area. Grew up in Virginia, so I'm used to the mountains and all that stuff. But played college baseball at Palm Beach Atlantic University down in South Florida. Growing up in Virginia, it was cold and snowy during baseball season. I said, no more. Not having it. So I moved down to Florida, played college baseball. And that's kind of where I got into the strength conditioning thing. I didn't know anything about it, right? One of the professors was like, hey, you should look into the strength conditioning profession. I'm like, sure. Like, tell me what it is, you know, cause I didn't have no idea what I wanted to do. I'm like, I was a college athlete. Like, you know, I didn't know. I just wanted to play ball, enjoy the sun, go to the beach, those sort of things. So I started researching it my senior year. Ended up with an eye injury, took a fastball to the face, shattered my orbital, really severe eye injury. My pupil still dilated and paralyzed from it. So I'm really sensitive with the eye. So that I didn't redshirt my senior year, decided to take my first internship at Florida State University. That's where my first internship was. And I sent out like 50 applications for internships, and only one school replied, and that was Florida State. And I jumped on it and then kind of trickled from there, you know, kind of school to school, moved my way up, networked a little bit. And now I'm here, you know, working in the tactical space. So I'm glad I made the jump. It was probably one of the best moves of my life when it comes to a job.
Well, I know a lot of us out here, myself included, and my husband, are glad that you made that jump. So tell us that. A little bit about that. Tell us about 13 Bar.
So 13 Bar was something that I started in my second year on the job here, when I was with USASOC. The more I got into the military, the more I saw that there was a need for quality programming, quality coaching, honest coaching. There's a lot of fluff out there, you know, especially on the internet. And that's the way the world works now. Everybody just sees stuff on social media and they scroll and they think it's cool and they think that's what they need to do. So I kind of wanted to be different. You know, I wanted to be honest. I wanted to be, you know, use all the experience that I have, put it into the business, and put out quality things. And it's been great. We've reached over 70 countries. And, you know, again, working with your husband, it's been awesome. Just people that's been consistent and is able to weed through that stuff that's out there and find quality coaching. It shows, and the consistency shows, and that's what it's about. I take pride in answering questions and guiding people in the right direction, even if it isn't with me, just with others as well. And it's been great. I mean, 13 Bar was something that I didn't think it was going to grow. We were happy with, like, hey, if we make $5,000 a year, great. Like, that's extra money, but you know, we're just here to help people, and it's blew up and it's been awesome. So,
yeah. And I think you're right. There's a lot of quote unquote coaches and tactical professionals popping up in the space now. But I think with 13 Bar having been around for just a few years now, and the way that it's grown, and as we were talking earlier, our personal experience with it, I think that says a lot about the individuals behind 13 Bar, right? The quality of coaching. You know, I was telling you earlier that my husband has just seen phenomenal gains, right, in performance and all kinds of things just since we've been coaching with you for maybe going on a year now?
Yeah, it's getting there. I mean, again, it's all about, you know, he's been consistent. He's been able to, he's over communicates, which is awesome, because that's a lot of problems now. People don't over communicate. You know, some people have a lot of issues and they put blame on things and they just don't communicate those issues. And that's where you see a lot of problems, but it's been great. I mean, there's constant tweaks here and there. If he's gone for a certain amount of time, like we make tweaks. I mean, that's what coaching is. I mean, especially remotely, like you have to be on it remotely and you have to communicate if you're going to train remotely. And he's been great. So it's credit to him. I mean, really, it's not me, it's him. It's his work he's putting in. So.
And even if you aren't coaching remotely, I mean, this is something that we, you know, had said we were going to kind of talk about too. And I think we can kind of just segue into it off this conversation is just buy-in when you're working with individuals in the tactical space. Because my husband doesn't trust a lot of people. And you know, we've had good coaching experiences and bad coaching experiences. And he has a lot of trust in you. And I think that's big. And I know both of us working kind of day in and day out with especially military athletes, right? It can be difficult to get that buy-in from those individuals. So maybe let's talk a little bit about that. You know, if I was a coach, let's say, coming up in the tactical space or wanting to get involved in the tactical space or whatever the case may be, what would I need to understand? What kind of mindset would I need to have? How do I build that trust with my athletes?
I think the experience is key, right? And I'm not talking about, you know, certifications. I'm not talking about training a person here and there. I'm talking about floor experience, coaching experience, being in front of many, many athletes, learning how to coach a floor. I think the experience part is part of it. I think having that is key. Because then that moves into the communication side. You can tell them what they're doing wrong. You can tell them why this isn't going to work. Because when they bring up these crazy ideas, which in the military, they'll just come with all kinds of crazy stuff. You can honestly be like, dude, like, come on. You know, you can have a dude conversation. You're like, that ain't cool. Like, we need to look somewhere else. But yeah, I think it's just being able to relate. And that comes with being comfortable. And you're comfortable when you have that experience. With some of these newer coaches that don't have the experience, and the military is just trying to, you know, hire all these coaches now. And that's a big problem, because they're just trying to fill those contracts. That's where you don't get the experience. And that's where you get the coaches just sit in their office and program for people, but they don't go out and communicate with them. And that's where the face-to-face communication comes in, and being down there in the team rooms and just being one of the guys and going out there and shooting with them. And just those sort of things plays a huge role. If you don't have,
as a dietitian, I love going to the Rangers, my guys.
Yeah. That's part of it. You know, I mean, that's, they want to see that. It's just like traveling with athletes in college to a sporting event. I mean, you know, some of the best times is me sitting down in the lobby eating breakfast and communicating with the athletes, you know, a day before a game. You're traveling with them. You're part of it. And same thing with going on training trips. It's all the same. They love to see that. I mean, the good thing about the tactical space is you can invite, like, I have guys come over to the garage and train in the garage, and you can't do that with NCAA because all the crap rules that they have and all this stuff. So that's one of the benefits. But yeah, it just, the experience, the being comfortable in yourself, being able to talk to them. Don't sit behind the computer screen and just program all day. That stuff to me is it. The programming will always be there, right? The programming is easy. It's the other part that makes you a great coach. And that comes being relatable. And that's huge. I mean, if you can get somebody to relate and trust in you, the trust factor is everything. And they'll do anything you do. I mean, you can put some on the whiteboard and they'll trust you, right? So, yeah.
Yeah. And I know that I've said it maybe before, just on Instagram or just, you know, in talking to people, but you know, like these guys, they're not necessarily going to come to you, right? You have to go to them.
Yep.
They want you in their space. If you're there for them, they want to see that you're willing to come out and meet them. And even in some cases, be willing to embrace the suck with them.
Exactly. Right? Exactly. So
it doesn't matter if you don't want to do something, right? If they're going for a ruck march, go for a ruck march with them.
Yeah. Yeah.
If they're doing a sticks, go visit them.
Funny story. I can't say where we went, but we went on a trip. I strapped a pack on my back and it was by far one of the hardest things I've ever done in my life. It was around like 8 miles. And I mean, we had guys anywhere from like 28 years old all the way to like mid 40s. And the guys in the mid 40s was still smoking me, right? And I just, not only did that do worlds for trust, because it wasn't even my guys. It was just a random team that we went with, and word spreads, right? So we know in the tactical space, you get a couple guys bought in, they're going to go to the team room. And they're going to, you know, say like, hey, like so-and-so went rucking with us. We went up in the mountains, you know, and word spreads. And they realize, oh, like this Shelton guy must be pretty cool. Like I need to go check out what he's doing. And that's how that stuff happens. But it was by far the hardest thing I've ever done. Like I tried to wear my heart rate monitor, but I mean, it didn't work, but it probably was so high. It's probably, it didn't even register. So it was a disaster, but I was like, I'll never to go do it again, but I'm glad I'd done it. Let's just say that.
Yeah. I mean, just your willingness to be out there probably meant a lot.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think, you know, and that's how things spread, right? Is word of mouth.
Yep.
Right. Yep. It doesn't matter, you know, if you're trying to promote yourself, great, you know, but that's really what matters is what somebody's friend or battle buddy is saying about you. Right.
Yep.
So,
absolutely.
What other advice would you give someone who's maybe trying to build that trust? Do you feel like that's the big one?
That's a big one, right? Like I always have said, and I didn't learn this until, you know, I started gaining more experience, but the trust is everything. You got to get somebody to trust you. And it's not only that, right? It's, you got to get, like, I tell guys all the time, man, like I've worked with a couple of guys that's been, had some serious injuries, and I'm not afraid to put my hand around them, around their neck and tell them I love them. I don't care. You know, like that's, I think those things do worlds of wonder. Like I'll make sure if I got to drive them to the house, if I got to talk with their wife, like, being involved, it's a family, you know, and if they don't feel like you're a part of that and they just see you as a contractor or, you know, part of the HP staff is kind of what they call us, you know, like, you know, I don't like that label. I don't like that. I don't like to be called part of, like, oh, he works in HP, you know, no, I'm like, I'm Shelton, like call me by my first name. And, you know, we're like anybody else, you know, I want to be part of what you do and I'll never be a part of the job. Right. That's just the way it is. But at the same time, I want them to realize, like, I love them just like anybody else, you know, on their team or their squadron or whatever. So I think those are the biggest things. But, you know, get out on the floor and coach them. Just don't sit in your office, right? If they're out there training, get out there and just, hey, like, even if they got headphones in or something, like, just, hey, like, go up and tap them. Like, hey, can I coach you up a little bit? Like, I see a couple of things that need to be fixed. Can I help you? Don't be afraid to do that. Like they want to be coached. They might not, you might see a big burly dude all tatted up and you might be, don't be afraid to go up and because they, trust me, they want to get coached. Right. And it's just, it might be a cue here and there, like, just don't bother them the whole time, but like, just coach them up a little bit, tell them something to fix and move on, move to the next guy. So.
Yeah. I think that's good advice. Now I do want to get into a little bit of a controversial topic, if that's okay.
Okay. Yeah.
So we got to talk about this post that you made on Instagram the other day, because I heard it caught fire.
It did.
So you were talking, your post specifically talked about linear periodization and why there are some reasons that you don't recommend it for the tactical population. And we've had this conversation, you know, there are a lot of programs out there based on linear periodization. Mm-hmm. And while that might make sense for some populations, it may not make sense for those individuals operating in the tactical space. So let's talk about that. What was the idea behind that post?
I think that I was either listening to a podcast or I might've been reading something, but it's just, we get so stuck in our own ways as coaches. you know, what we learned in school and then, or what we learned from our mentor and whatever we learned, that's what we're going to do throughout our whole career. We're not going to look anywhere else, right? We're not going to, you know, this is how it's going to be. Linear periodization. We're going to follow this model. I don't care about your job or what goes on in your life. Like, this is what we're going to do. You can't be like that if you work in a tactical space. You have to be a chameleon. You have to be able to change with your environment, right? So, and that's where the linear model versus the nonlinear model comes in. In a tactical space, a linear model really doesn't work because the job changes all the time. Plus, if you work, especially in spec ops, these guys want to train up for marathons. Maybe the next month they want to train up for an elk hunt. And then the next month they want to try to hit 500 on their deadlift. Their goals change all the time, right? So for me, the best kind of model is nonlinear, which is more of a conjugate style approach. Of course, with a lot of energy system development conditioning in it, because we all know they like to run and condition. It just allows for more, let's just say more freedom when it comes to training. So when they're able to come in and, you know, you don't have to hit this certain percentage on a certain day, because you might be crushed because you didn't get sleep. Y'all had to do night hits and you had to do CQB early in the morning and all day in the heat. And then you come in and then I'm asking you to hit 90% on back squat. Well, guess what? That's probably going to feel like crap. And you can't just be assigned to a certain percentage. And like I told you earlier, I'm not even using percentages with my guys anymore. So it's just basically all feel. So whatever week that is, no matter what, if I'm asking you to hit a heavy single, that's going to be your heavy single for that day. You might feel like crap. So that single might be a little lighter than it will be in three weeks ahead, but it's still your heavy single for that day. It's just learning your body. It allows your body to have a little bit of freedom, and it's good for your joints. It's good for your health. And to me, it just works a little bit better, you know?
Well, I think that's a mark of a good coach too, right? So even with my nutrition programming, the goal of nutrition coaching, yep, at least when you're working with me, is that we're getting you to a point where you can eventually self-manage a little bit better, exactly, right? I'm not just writing you meal plans for the sake of writing you meal plans or whatnot, right? Like, I'm actually educating you on how to take control of that a little bit more, be a little, yep, bit more intuitive with it. So, I mean, that sounds kind of similar, and not even for military athletes. So I have firefighters that I work with. I have law enforcement that I work with who just really struggle with some of the programming that follows that linear periodization model, because they don't have the time.
They don't
have the schedule. They don't recover well all the time.
Yeah. And that's where, you know, and I'm guilty of it. I think we've all been there. I think we've all, you know, we've tried the CrossFit thing. We've tried the HIIT training. We've done all that stuff, right? And some people really enjoy it. Like, I've got guys that love CrossFit and they stick with it. But is it the best form? I don't think so. But they enjoy it, and that's half the battle. That's the people that kind of bash CrossFit all the time. Like, you know, I give CrossFit a hard time because I don't agree with I don't agree with just HIIT all the time, right?
I would say the reality of some of those high level CrossFit athletes is they're not doing that all the time. And nope, I think there's a big misconception around that too.
Yep. And look at your best CrossFitters out there, right? Your Tia Claire Toomey's, your Matt Frazier's, your Rich Froning's. If you pay attention to how they train, they're on strength cycles. You know, they're doing different things, not just metabolic conditioning. Like, Froning is very smart with his metabolic conditioning. He understands energy systems. He understands where to place things, you know, because he has a strength conditioning background a little bit himself. So, and Matt Frazier was an Olympic lifter. So they understand programming a little bit. And that's where it comes in. Like, going back to the linear model, you tend to lose some of those things as time goes on. Like, if I'm just doing power work for 8 weeks, well, where is the strength and hypertrophy going to go? As a tactical athlete, you can't afford to lose those things, right? Like, you can't afford just to neglect those things for 8 to 10 weeks at a time. So that's where hitting those conjugate models, hitting that minimal effective dose every day will be able to kind of, again, hypertrophy is crucial. Like, 80% of that work needs to be hypertrophy and high rep stuff. So it's easy on the joints. It allows for lean muscle growth. All that stuff helps. And, you know, obviously there's a lot more to it when it comes to science and periodization, how programs should run. But again, it's just not hitting heavy all the time, every single day. every single day. I mean, some people think that's good for them, and that's really not. You're really on going on red. Your body's just adapting to a lower level of performance. You think you're adapting, but you're adapting to a lower level of performance.
Yeah. And there's a lot of guys that I work with that they go in there 3-4 days a week and they feel like they got to hit a PR every single day.
Yeah.
Nope. And right. And then just in terms of body composition. So I do work with overweight military athletes as well. Mm-hmm. And in the sector that I'm in. And so getting them to understand a little bit about how that's not necessarily going to be beneficial also in terms of just maintaining healthy body composition can be a little bit of a challenge.
Oh, absolutely.
You talk about energy system development, and this is something that I teach from a nutrition standpoint too, really just in terms of substrate utilization and how to manage your nutrition appropriately based on your training program, right? Mm-hmm. Because your training program is what dictates your nutrition, you know, in along with whatever it is that your goal is, right?
100%.
So, I mean, when you're talking about energy system development, right, from a training standpoint, you know, and then we're talking about nonlinear periodization, when we're training those energy systems, you know, talk a little bit about that, kind of explain that to some individuals who maybe have been doing linear periodization for a while and don't really understand how energy system development can be important.
Yeah. So this is a huge topic that I've got, that I've got people that's messaged me and be like, I want to know more about this energy system stuff. Cause people just don't know anything about it. Mm-hmm. Nothing. Right. So the first thing I tell people is, hey, make sure like wear a good quality heart rate monitor, right? Like buy a good chest strap. Don't go off your watch, like know where your heart rate's sitting at all times. Cause a lot of my programming is going to be off that. So energy system development, right? The majority of people don't realize where their heart is sitting during training. So a lot of people that's doing this CrossFit metabolic conditioning every single day, they are crushing it. And their heart rate is just super high and they don't even realize, and they don't realize why their body starts to just deplete, you know, later in the week, or maybe they might not be able to put consistent days together. Well, it's because one, their central nervous system is not recovering. Two, they're probably, like you said, they're probably not eating right for the task at hand. And it's just, again, they got to be able to program that properly. Like I believe that high intensity training is short lived, right? The research is out there. So high intensity training, you'll be able to see results right away, but later down the road, it's eventually going to plateau. That's why I tell people to always throw in some more aerobic days. So replace 3 or 4 days with steady state aerobic work, because that's going to help. One, it's going to help you with your lifts. Two, it's going to help you recover. And three, it's going to be more sustainable for longevity down the road. I mean, you can throw in heart health and when you get older, I mean, that stuff's going to be way more important than high intensity training will be. So that's the number one thing that people don't realize. Like when we've got people go on runs, and again, the military, we run all the time. I'm like, hey, like, do you even know where your heart rate's sitting? You say you're going for a 3 or 4 mile run, but are you hitting threshold? Is your heart rate too high? Where is it sitting at? So like, if I want you to do steady state and I see your heart rate was average of 170, well, that's not steady state at all. You're probably way above, that's probably high threshold for you. So like walk, or when you hit hills, walk, don't run them and stuff like that. So I always, more people need more aerobic work, slow, steady work, less high intensity lactic work and alactic work, right? So that's where kind of those three energy systems, you got the alactic, the lactic, and the aerobic system. Lactic is probably the less common of them all. Like a lot of people stay in the lactic zone, the lactic area, and it's probably the least energy system they need to train. You either probably need to hit alactic and aerobic. Those are where you're going to make the most money, right? Yeah. And a lot of people don't realize when you want to train alactic energy system, that's true power, right? It's all about energy. So how much energy, alactic is short, powerful bursts, and you'll be able to restore ATP and rest for a long period of time, like 1 to 6, 1 to 7, and then repeat that bout. It's about repeatability. And they're like, man, like why you got me resting 2 or 3 minutes between sets? That's purposeful, like trust the process, right? You need to do that. So that's alactic, and then aerobic is probably the hardest thing for people to concentrate because it's super easy, right? Nobody wants to do anything easy, conversational, like they want to get after it all the time. And that's the hardest thing.
If you're not dying, you didn't really work out, right?
Exactly, right? If you're not crawling on the floor and leaving your sweat stain on the floor, you didn't do anything. So
Well, and even when people are working that lactic energy system, right? So we're using primarily glycolysis.
Yep.
Right. So talking about substrate utilization, and this is where people really get stuck sometimes on the nutrition side, because what's the trendy thing now? Everybody wants to eliminate carbohydrates, over protein themselves to death. Yeah. Right. So I get a lot of guys in my office who are like, oh, I'm intermittent fasting, but I feel terrible. Mm-hmm. Or they're doing very low carb diets in an effort to lose excess body fat. Or even individuals who are in great shape will come in and are doing things like that. And they don't really understand how those energy systems work. Right. And then let's talk about, you know, conventional forces. They do PT in the morning and they don't like to eat before they do PT in the morning.
Yep.
Right. So that's been a huge, just big uphill battle on my side, just with helping them learn how to sort of develop those energy systems from a nutrition standpoint, right?
I give y'all credit, because dietitians got some of the hardest jobs. I sit there and watch some of the questions that come in, and I see, again, when guys, going back to the energy system thing, when guys want to combine those, like when they want to, they're doing anaerobic work, which is basically lifting, right? And then they'll go try to do a 3 or 4 mile, which is aerobic. Like, they're throwing all these things at you as a dietitian, and you're like, hey, like, you know, you got to understand energy systems, man. Like, those two systems right there are compromising each other. You're not gaining anything from that. It's the hardest thing, you know. And then they, you know, they hear a podcast, they hear Joe Rogan, and they want to try this, or they see the Liver King and do some of the stupid stuff he's doing. Like, there's so many things that gets thrown at dietitians. Like, I'm like, oh my gosh, like, it drives me crazy. I can't imagine what y'all go through.
Oh, I get a Liver King post either sent to me, or I get tagged in one at least twice a week.
It's unbelievable.
Least twice a week.
Unbelievable.
But yeah, absolutely. So energy systems, not only from a training standpoint, from a nutrition standpoint, I feel like that's really, if you're someone who really wants to understand a little bit more about how to take your performance kind of to that next level, right? Outside of what the masses are doing, right? So a lot of bro lifting happening, right? A lot of just random stuff happening. I feel like energy systems is kind of the next step for some people.
Absolutely it is.
But having someone who can teach you how to do it appropriately is important.
Exactly. And we try to have classes. I try to bring my guys in and invite them to any kind of like whiteboard sessions where I'm like, hey man, like let's sit down and talk about energy systems and get y'all to understand, like, cause they want to, I got to admit, like, there's guys that do a lot of extra work on their own. But I try to get them to understand, like, hey, if you do extra work, here's how you should space it out. Like, if you want to get more running or cycling in, well, try to do that in the AM, separate your lifts and your other work from, you know, 4 to 6 hours. So at least give your systems a little bit of rest, right? Like, if you're doing stuff on the same day, and they try to pile everything in together and do all this extra work, and they're really not seeing any benefit from it because they're doing too much.
Yeah. And I would argue, you know, especially at your level working in the tactical space, you know, everybody focuses on training, right? How much emphasis do you see on the recovery side, right?
Yeah.
So,
I mean, that's not, they want to, right? It's in the back of their mind that they know they should. But again, they're just go all the time, you know? So it's like, how do we find that happy medium where we can get them to understand, like, hey, like, you need to just relax a little bit. Like, sometimes you need to, you know, again, we're lucky enough to have some of those resources where we're at, where we have like the red light beds and, you know, the sauna and the Normatex and all this stuff, like, but they still don't get utilized like they should. You know, they still don't use it. We got the cold tubs, the hot tubs, they get all the information in the handouts and everything. But, I actually have to program that stuff in because we use the Bridget with most of our guys and I put it in there. It's almost like a lot of guys like to check things off. Right. They love checking things off. So I actually have to put it in there. Like, hey, sauna, like 20 minutes minimum, boom, like hot, light bed, boom. Like, so they can see it in front of their face. Cause if they don't see it, then they're like, okay, my day's done. Boom. I'm just going to the next thing.
Yeah. And I do the same with my athletes. Right. So when they're doing their weekly check-ins with me, it's always, okay, how's sleep this week? Stress, you know, did you hit all your training this week? How did it feel? Yeah. And then of course the nutrition piece as well.
Yeah.
Cause there's just not enough emphasis on that. And it, not even in the military, right? Just even in law enforcement and the fire service.
All they care about is, you know, getting their blood work and their DEXA scans and just comparing their testosterone.
Yeah, so
that's pretty much it.
That's the truth. But yeah, no. So, you know, let's talk a little bit now. You got some things started recently beyond the stripes specifically.
Yeah.
Let's talk a little bit about that. So,
yeah, Beyond the Stripes is special to me. I think there's a lot of darkness out there on social media, you know, and I think there needs to be a lot more light. And I think that's something that we wanted to do with Beyond the Stripes. We wanted to use social media in a good way. I think a lot of people call themselves influencers just because they have, you know, 50, 100, some million, some followers, and they're not influencing not a single soul in the right way. So that's where Beyond the Stripes comes in. Don't know where it's going to go yet. I just wanted to put it out there and give us a way to spread the good word, to as many people as possible. And we've got some really, really impactful messages from people, which makes it all worth it. Right. So just being able to get people to realize at the end of the day, we talk about this stuff, the job and everything in the world, right? We live in this crazy world, this evil world that we're living in, and we don't realize there's something much better out there, and that's our Heavenly Father. So it's that's the kind of light we want to shed and bring people to. And at the end of the day, when people are on their deathbed or they lose family members, they're going to wish they had it. And that's our purpose, right? Is to bring people to Jesus, and that's what we want to do.
Well, I think it's great, and we're glad that you're doing it. And would love to see how that grows and shapes kind of in the future. I know you're doing podcasts as well, right?
Yep.
So you have some devotionals on there.
Yeah, we do some devotionals. Me and my wife, you know, we wanted to put that together, and we try to we'll bring on guests here and there, you know, the right kind of people, and just kind of see where it goes. You know, some people want to share their faith journey, some don't, and that's fine, right? Like as Christians, you don't want to just, you know, try to gear towards just Christians. We want to gear towards everybody. I mean, we love everybody, right? And you never know whose life you're going to change.
Yeah, absolutely. What is kind of next for 13 Bar, right? So you're doing coaching, you have programming available, right?
Yep.
What's next for you guys?
I don't know. I think somebody reached out about the Coach's Corner program, which your husband's on now. Mm-hmm. We're thinking about tweaking that a little bit. We're thinking about making it even better, offering more. So I think what we're going to do, what I like to do is instead of making each program custom to the individual, I want to put together four programs, each being 12 to 13 weeks at a time, and have like a sign-up period, right? And just open it up to 10 to 15 people, make it a little community, right? So it's, I don't know what I'm going to call it. I might even still call it Coach's Corner, but open it up so that, you know, I'm hoping to get this first one by the summer, have 10 or 15 people sign up. If they sign up, because again, it's going to be a little costly. I mean, I'm trying to put a lot of stuff into this, right? So monthly Zoom calls, a little bit more into the Bridge app with videos, a bigger discount with Thorn. Maybe work with a dietitian when it comes to like pairing up the goal for the program, when it comes to the dietitian side on the goals there, and just doing that, right? I think people love community. They love a team. And even with the Zoom calls, you know, even if people just don't want to talk, they can ask questions on the side or whatever they want to do. But I just want to make it a little bit more personable. And each summer, like a goal for the summer would be, you know, just to get nice, lean, and shredded for the summer barbecues and the beach, like, and then during the fall, try to get a little bit bigger. You know, it's just kind of, there's going to be different goals there. But we'll see. We'll see where that goes. I would love down the road to open up a little small facility. Don't know if that'll happen or not. I mean, again, it's tricky with that. Like, I want to make sure that it ain't going to be like LA Fitness. I want to make sure we invite certain people. I'll actually want to coach them. It's going to be more like classes. It's not going to be like coming in. It's going to be a wad on the whiteboard per day, right? Like, I want to make sure they're getting coached up the right way, build a community there. So who knows? I mean, we're in the right area for it, right? So I don't know what's going to happen there, but we're just going to continue to grow, continue to put out great content. You know, it's tough. It's just me and my wife, right? So with a full-time job, and she's a full-time stay-at-home mom, I mean, putting out Instagram content, and I mean, you know, it's tough putting that stuff together every day.
It is. I actually, to be perfectly honest, I actually brought on a team this year And I have about anywhere between 3 to 5 contractors actually working concurrently on different projects on the back end that a lot of times you don't see on the front end. So it's changed things a lot for me, but it can be difficult sometimes to delegate out some of the responsibility.
I just don't want to fall. It's tricky, right? I don't want to fall into the Instagram life of reels and dancing and like,
please don't,
you know, like, I'm not going to dance. Right. But like playing this, I don't know, like I want to be me, you know, like you want to be you, you know, so you want to spread good information. And I think people will stick to that. Right. Like, I don't want to get away from that. And I think Instagram is getting away from that stuff. I think they're turning into TikTok. And I think we need to find as, you know, business owners and what we're trying to do, you and I, we're going to have to find other ways to be able to have information, and we're going to have backups, a backup plan. Cause I don't know where Instagram's going to go right down the road. So I don't know if that means YouTube. I don't know if that means Patreon. You know, there's certain things out there that we might need to look at because I don't know. It's not looking good on Instagram from what I'm seeing.
No. And, you know, you said something on one of your stories the other day too, you know, you talked about, you know, followers, and just like you said today, right? Being an influencer doesn't mean that you're actually influencing anybody.
Exactly.
Right?
Nope.
And I think the more authentic you can be on platforms like that, the more the right people are going to find you. Right. Because I will tell you that, like, I don't have a huge Instagram following, but the community that I interact with, right? They're my people, right?
Exactly.
The content that I put out there, the things that they see, the small glimpses of my life that they even see, right? Connects with them because we have some of the same shared interests, right? Maybe come from the same place, so to speak, right?
Yep.
So I don't think you need to do all the dancing and the crazy stuff.
No. People's going to that. And it's just like, why? Like, why are you changing who you are? You know, like that's not you. You're allowing yourself to get sucked into the world now that we're living in, you know, like be yourself. And that's why I talk like with Beyond the Stripes stuff. To me, the Beyond the Stripes is our foundation. You know, to me, that like that's what keeps me engaged in, on social media. You know, 13 bar is fine. I love strength and conditioning and performance, but Beyond the Stripes is kind of like what really is our family and myself is all about, you know? So having that page, like, as long as I can do that and fulfill that purpose, all the rest of the business, if the business crashes, you know, that's okay. Like, I don't, you know, I'll be fine, you know, cause we're just here to help people, you know, we're here to guide people in the right direction, no matter what we're doing. And, definitely not going to dance to any kind of reels or anything. So
if I ever see you dancing on Instagram, I'm just going to assume that you lost some sort of friendly bet.
Yeah. If I'm dancing, it's going to be like a straight silkies and just like doing it right.
Yeah, no, but I think that's great. I think the authenticity is great. Right. Yeah. I think we need more of that out there.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You know, and then recently, if it's okay with you, I know that we've kind of talked about and you've talked about that you've been going through just sort of some personal challenges with some of your health, right? You were recently diagnosed with celiac disease. You know, working with a dietitian, you know, there are definitely individuals out there who are maybe dealing with similar health issues, maybe some type of, you know, IBD issues. You know, can you maybe talk a little bit about that and maybe what your experience has been? Because coming back from something that can sometimes be a setback, I think is difficult for some people too. So I think it'd be valuable to have maybe your personal insight.
No, absolutely. So it's been about a year. It'll be a year in May when I first started seeing the symptoms. But my symptoms were weird, right? Like my first symptoms was a cough and some heart palpitations. Now, we still think there's really isn't answers on what caused all this, but I'm starting to see it a little bit more. We think COVID caused it all. Backtracking a little bit, you know, I think it was about a month ago, our dietitian shared an email that they're on a long chain of where I think the DevGuru dietitian sent out an email where she's seeing an uptick in COVID cases and autoimmune disorders popping up. And she actually had to report it to medical side because it's such an uptick in people who's getting celiacs and autoimmune disorders from COVID. So I'm trying to put two and two together. I think that might've what caused everything, because I never got tested, which is weird. Like I went to the hospital twice, just because I'd wake up in the middle of the night, shaking, heart rate, crazy palpitations. It would freak me out. I was having heart attack. So I went to the hospital and everything checked out fine, but they never tested me for COVID, which my cardiologist thought that was really weird, that they never tested me. So eventually, once the heart stuff was happening, then it went down to the stomach, and then the stomach stuff started happening, right? So like indigestion, heartburn, bloating, and pretty much every system you can, every symptom you can think about when it comes to the stomach, I was having. So then I went to the GI doctor and then had to do all that stuff, right? Had to get the endoscopies and all that. And that's where, they went down and checked, and he thought I had a, hiatal hernia. So he thought something was happening there, but my stomach is a little bit different. Everybody's stomach, if you look at somebody straight ahead, has like a S shape, right? Well, mine goes backwards. Okay. So like my stomach goes, it's like a S is going this way towards me. That's the way he said, that's what kind of confused him going in with the tube, is he ran into a dead end, but it was just the way my stomach is shaped, and he had to kind of work around that. But he didn't really find anything. He saw some like gastritis symptoms and some inflammation, but nothing celiac related, but I was still having crazy symptoms. So I went back, and the doctor, just in conversation, like, I was like, well, my aunt had celiac disease. He's like, well, do you want to get tested for it? I was like, sure. And then I got tested, and my blood panels were, I mean, absolutely through the roof, like insanely high. Because what was happening is, I would talk to the dietitian at work, and I was having some gut issues, and she was like, well, just go on, a bland diet, eat bread, eat basically all the gluten you can eat. So I was crushing gluten. So I think that's why my levels were so freaking high. So I went in for another endoscopy, and then he saw it, further down in my small intestine, just the villi just completely flat. Right. So basically after that, all he did was tell me, go on a gluten-free diet. It's like, okay, I went on a gluten-free diet. I was crushing gluten-free bread still. I was doing a gluten-free, sugar, like cookies and all that stuff. Well, come to find out, that's still bad. Like I have SIBO on top of celiac. So mm-hmm. you're feeding this bad bacteria if you're eating tons of sugar, tons of carbs, even if it is gluten-free. So it's just making me worse. So that's when I finally decided to find a celiac specialist that's dealt with this stuff. And in between all this, I was going to the cardiologist. I ended up with atrial tachycardia. So I had to get an ablation. They went up through my groin, found a couple of spots, electrical issues that they had to fix that. My central nervous system is still off. Like I'm still very sympathetic, in nature, like my heart just, any kind of nervous condition, like even before this podcast or even going to a doctor's office or something will just trigger that sympathetic response. And my heart just gets not crazy fast, but I can just feel it beating a little bit harder. So that's going on. So I have to deal with the heart issues on top of healing my gut. So now I'm just on an herbal supplement protocol, which has really helped for the past 5 months or so. So it's all herbal supplements. I mean, I'm like swigging like organic, like oregano and spices and all kinds of different things that's helping. That's what she said. She's like, don't take any antibiotics. The doctors are going to push that to you. That's not for long-term health. Like it's just short-lived and you'll end up getting SIBO again. So mm-hmm. we're attacking this thing for a long period of time, and things are slowly starting to get better. I'm able to kind of, again, before I couldn't even go to work. Like I was so messed up. I lost 45 pounds in like 5 months. Normally I'm like around like 215, 220. I was down to 175. It really attacked me from a mental standpoint, anxiety, depression, people don't realize how serious this stuff is when it comes to celiacs and autoimmune disorder. Plus, you know, I have a fear of it happening again, you know, like just the doctors and the heart surgery and all this stuff. Like you go from being 110% healthy to training hard and being a strength coach and all that, from all that getting taken away from you. You know, my identity was stripped away from me. You really learn a lot about yourself and realize what's important. So still working with a dietitian now, gut slowly healing, still having some issues with the heart and stuff, but you know, I can't let it bring me down. I just got to continue to keep trucking and do what I can. But hopefully I'm on the uptick, and there's going to be hills and valleys, but that's part of it. So it's been a battle for sure.
Yeah. So we definitely, hopefully, you know, you can get back to at least to where you were, you know?
Yeah.
But I think you're right. You know, a lot of, and it doesn't matter, I think, what the illness or injury is. I think when you're feel like you're operating at a high level, right? Yep. In whatever it is you're doing physically, mentally, career-wise, whatever the case may be, any type of roadblock can really become kind of a mental mind fuck, right?
It is. Yeah.
You know, what are some things that you think really helped you kind of overcome or start getting back to where you were?
Just so mentally was definitely God and faith and getting into the word, because I was a good guy before. Like I was, you know, people say I'm a good person. That's enough, you know, but I've really, like I said, when my identity was stripped and I started to really realize, like it was almost like God was telling me, hey, I'm taking all this away from you so you can see clearly, look at me, right? Look at me, walk towards me, and realize what's really important here. And I think that is what got me through from night to night, because there was fear there every night, right? My heart was going crazy. Like, I didn't know what was going to happen. Like, I just wanted to wake up and see my kids every morning. Like, it was, you know, the wife was scared for a little while, what was going on. So of course that, and then, from there, it's just, you know, talking to the right people. The support system at work was amazing. So having a good support system. So obviously my wife, she done a heck of a job taking care of me and the kids basically. And, work allowed me to stay at home for like 5 to 6 weeks during my procedures and stuff and be able to work from home. So I can't thank them enough. And then from there, just like talking to people and find the right person to work with you. Like sometimes doctors, especially during these COVID times, man, they're just plugging away on the computers and sending out prescriptions and going to the next person, right? It's like, one, the wife can't come with me, you know, she couldn't come with me at the time. So it was just me. So I didn't have anybody to speak for me. You know, I got all this going on in my head and I got to remember questions to ask the doctor, but all that kind of goes out the window because my anxiety's through the roof and everything else. So, and they're just like, you know, plugging away and this is your symptoms. Okay, here you go. Here's your prescription. Go fill it and see if it works. Right. And then just like, man, that's just not enough, you know? And then finally, like, they're like, you need to go, you know, you need to see a specialist. So I worked with a celiac specialist and a lot of people was going through the same thing. So getting in a community where a lot of people are going through the same thing you are really helps. And if anything, she just helped with talking to me and that's made me feel better and guide me in the right direction and telling me like, everything's going to be all right. Like this, I've seen this before. And, you know, it's really helped. And then trusting myself where just being able to say, okay, like I'm all right. You know, I got to push myself a little bit here. Like, even if it's just my heart, I got to get my heart back in shape. So like from a conditioning standpoint, like you take it slow. Like training isn't an 8-week process. It's a lifetime process. So that's the way I kind of, I'm approaching it, you know, like, take things slow. Like even if you got to train once or twice a week, if that's what you're able to do, do that. Right. And then eventually you progress. You know, walking is very underrated. Like walking really helped me. You know, I couldn't even really walk up and down the stairs before my heart was going crazy. You know, I had to sit down and rest. So just going out and walking is very underrated. People need to do that more. Like you're getting your aerobic work in, too. You can come up with some awesome thoughts and ideas, you know, and bounce ideas off each other. Like the best conversations me and my wife have are going on walks in the evenings. Same. Right. So it's just amazing. Like what it does for clarity, like get rid of the phones, get rid of everything, leave it on the counter and go out and walk and enjoy the sounds and enjoy the conversation. You know, that stuff's very important. So that helped too. So just, you still trust the doctors and what they say, but at the same time, do your research. And, you know, if things ain't working for you, find a second opinion. You know, it's your body, it's your health, it's your life. Like, do what you got to do.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. And I think sometimes it can be very easy, right? We should trust the doctors to an extent, yep. Right? But mm-hmm. The truth of it is that sometimes the easy answer is medications, and that doesn't always work, no. Right? Nope. Especially if we're talking about, you know, I've had conversations with individuals about, you know, their antibiotic use, you know, in their younger years, and just the overuse and how that affects you later on in life, right?
Yep.
Because we just recently did an education on the gut microbiome and talking about how that really, I mean, that's the second brain of your body. A lot of your yep. hormones, your neurotransmitters, everything that happens in your body is a lot of times controlled by the bacteria in your gut.
Yes.
So
that's the reason why my gut's healing now is because of my GI map test that we done. You know, the only test that they at the GI doctors they done was just for H. pylori. Like that's the only test that they, but with what the, my dietitian done is basically they work with a company down in Georgia. It's a GI map test. I send in a sample and all this stuff. And it's amazing. What they test for. I mean, it's like 3 pages long, right? I don't know anything on this sheet. So she's breaking it all down. And, I had, E. coli overgrowth. I had staph overgrowth in the stomach, which I had to get on antibiotics for that to kill it before I got on my herbal supplements. But like all my bad bacteria was through the roof. All the good bacteria was gone. Again, if I didn't test for that, I would have never known that. Right. Like you don't get a detailed GI test anywhere. Like you have to really like search for that kind of stuff. Cause a lot of people, they don't know, the GI doc has no idea about gut microbiome, which blows my mind. Right. Like they don't really know the details of that. So yeah. It's just,
well, I mean, I'm still educating doctors where I work on appropriate yeah. vitamin D supplementation.
Well, and the thing is doctors don't want to work with you, you know, like some of them don't even want nothing to do with a dietitian because you know, it's just, she's having the roughest time. Like I try to give the GI doctor the information that she's given me and he don't want nothing to do with it. He's like, that antibiotic should have cleared it up. You should have been healthy by now. Well, hey buddy, like, I'm telling you that I'm not. And here's the results from the GI map test. Like obviously the pill didn't work. Right. But the thing is ego's getting in the way. It's like, again, they don't care about the person. They don't, you know, it's just on to the next and on to the next. And I'm not saying all doctors, right. There's some great doctors out there, but it's tough, man. Like and that's where dietitians come in. Like I owe her everything, you know, and the information that dietitians have, especially real good dietitians that went to school and study it and just don't like, you know, they just don't stop at school. Like you're constantly studying the gut microbiome. You know, like the new things that's going on, the new research, like that stuff's important because things are constantly changing.
Yeah. And it's important to find, even if you're going to work with a dietitian, understanding that not every dietitian is the same.
Yep.
Not every dietitian has the same experience. Not every dietitian, a good dietitian is going to be able to tell you when, you know, they're not going to be able to help you because yes. That's just not their specialty.
Yep. Don't fall. If you're listening to this and you're an athlete or in the military space, don't fall for somebody's resume that's full of colleges and all this, because they might just have put snacks out and cooked for 3 years and had no idea what they're doing. Right. So that's a big difference there. So like, you got to do your research. Sorry. Again, there's some rants there, but again, it's true. Like it's very true. Like, and that's just not the dietitian's fault. I mean, that's the nature of the college and professional level. Like you're catering to those kids.
Yeah. And I totally agree. I think dietitians are one, they're very underutilized in those spaces, mm-hmm. which is part of the reason that I didn't go into that space on top of the fact that I already had a family, you know, but not every dietitian is going to be able to help every person, right? I know my limits. Exactly. I know when, you know, I come across someone who needs to be seen by someone else, right? Another dietitian, right? Yep. And you should always be, if you're working with a professional, I think it doesn't matter if it's a dietitian or a coach, anybody really, you should always be asking why, Like, why are we doing this? Why is this in my program? What is the purpose of this? And if they can't answer you clearly, if they can't give you an answer that makes sense, then you really need to reconsider, I think, the person that you're working with, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So, you know, training, for instance, if you're getting a lot of these random programs, random workouts, right? There should be something that makes sense there, and your coach should be able to tell you why it makes sense, right?
Yep.
So I think that's a big thing.
Absolutely. The dietitians definitely, I think they're definitely getting more credit in the, on the military side. They're definitely not utilized like they should in the collegiate professional side. Some people are lucky that they didn't have to worry about going to the college and professional level. And, you know, like that's, sometimes that's a good thing. Sometimes that's a bad thing. You learn a lot, you know, you learn that probably that isn't the sector that you don't want to work in, you know? And that's the thing, like I've had that experience even as a strength condition coach in the college and professional level, and it was great, learned a lot. But at the same time, you know, you have kids, you have a family, you have a life you got to live. Like there's things that matter, bigger picture, but at the same time, we're viewed as professionals in the tactical space. You know, we don't have to worry about answering to coaches. We don't have to worry about answering to administration and all that crap that don't allow you to do your job. You know, like that's one of the positives. If you are looking to go into the tactical space, you don't have to worry about that stuff. You are the professional. Just make sure you bring that professionalism to the table.
Yeah, absolutely. And a lot of the coaches that I work with come from the collegiate setting as well. And
yep,
I was really shocked by just the amount of abuse, hours, you know, pay, you know, and a lot of these coaches that I work with, they're professional. They do a great job.
Yep.
But it makes me kind of sad that they're treated that way that they are. So yeah, coming into the tactical space, right? Like just so you said, you know, a lot more respect, treated like professionals, but you got to earn that, right?
You got to earn it. Yep. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah. Awesome. So we are coming up on the hour, so I don't want to keep you any longer because I know you want to spend some time with your family as I do. Oh.
I could talk about this stuff all day. So,
we will definitely do it again. We will
definitely do it again. Let's do it.
But thanks for coming on today. And, you know, would definitely want to keep posted on how things are going on your end, just as far as coaching, training, you know, health wise. I'm sure we'll be in touch. I know you and Alan talk pretty regularly.
Yeah.
He always fills me in a little bit.
That's awesome.
Yeah. But, keep us posted. Thanks for coming today.
Will do. Yeah, absolutely.
Always a pleasure, and we'll talk soon, okay?
All right, sounds good.
All right, awesome. Thank you.
All right.